you have a Bible with you tonight, would you like to turn, please, to Genesis chapter 3? We really do appreciate all that have joined us tonight. Trust that God will bless His Word. Very well-known passage, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And then in verse 11 we have a second question that is asked of Adam. God said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? And then we have in verse 13 a third question that God asks the woman. What is this that thou hast done? Now just for one verse, over in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. First Peter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Just noticing the first part of that verse particularly. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Now, we trust tonight that nothing that we say will be offensive to anyone in our gathering tonight. That is not our purpose. But we may say things that you may consider to cut very close to the bone. The gospel is a message like that. The gospel is intensely personal, a very personal message. And there is no one upon earth, even those who know you the best, those who are most intimately connected with you, can speak to you about yourself, about your condition, the way God can speak to you through His Word. And with such perfect knowledge and with such authority. And so what we speak tonight is not our own opinion, but we can base what we say upon the Word of God. And so we trust tonight that you will take what is said from the Word of God. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, The Word of God is living and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. No one knows you like God knows you. And the Word of God that we have before us tonight is just like a mirror. A mirror that gives a perfect reflection of every individual that looks within the pages of this book.
perfect image. And then the verse that I quoted says that the Word of God is like a sword. It cuts. Cuts in two directions, a two-edged sword, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the gospel that we have to preach tonight is really good news. It's good news. But it won't mean anything to you until you accept God's bad news. And that is God's verdict concerning your sin and the need of a Savior. And if you were to come to that place tonight, you recognize your sin. And that is going to be the subject of the few minutes that I have at my disposal tonight. I want to talk about what sin is and what sin has done. This passage that we've read before us, Genesis chapter 3, gives us the origin of sin. The first two chapters of your Bible, Genesis 1 and 2, tells us about God's perfect creation, the way God made it, and the way God intended it to be. When we come to chapter 3, we find how sin came into the world. Very early in the history of mankind. So this chapter reveals to us the origin of sin. It tells us the nature of sin, the effects of sin, the cost of sin. Because sin is very costly. If we were to continue to read over in chapter 4, we begin to see the development of sin in the human race. We find how sin spreads throughout the whole world. And then in chapter 6, some 1600 years after creation, we find that God has to judge the whole human race and reduce it to a mere 8 souls. There we find that God thinks of sin. We read there in Genesis 6 that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord Jesus, over in Matthew, agrees and reiterates the truth of that passage. He said, for out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile man. So, really, sin is not what is around us, but sin is what is within us. That's where sin finds its root, and its origin, its start, is within the human heart. And so I'd like you to think for a few minutes about what sin really is. Sin is an intruder in this world. An intruder. Sin does not belong in this world. Sin was not found in the Garden of Eden at the beginning. Sin was not found in Adam and Eve before the fall. Sin was not found in the perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the years that he spent down here. There was no sin found in him. And there is coming a day when every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord comes, and they're taken home to heaven, and they receive new bodies, they will be saved out of the very presence of sin itself. That is God's intention. And so sin is an intruder in the world. Sin is an intruder in your life. But sin has to be dealt with. Romans 5 and 12 says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sin is woven into the very fabric of human nature. And it's very, very much a part of each one of us, and we need to sin. Sin is something that you were born with, the sinful nature. Through no fault of your own, through no fault of your parents, my friend, it was inherited. David said, King David, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So, my friend, tonight you're not responsible for how you were born. But my friend, from that sinful nature of yours, there has sprung forth fruit. Sin. And because you're a sinner, because you and I are sinners, there has sprung in our life fruit, which is sin, sins that we commit day by day. But then I'd like to think of sin, the family tree of sin, you might call it. If you were to look at the verse in James 1 and 15, it says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. There we have the sin is the offspring of desire and lust. And it's the father of death. There's a family tree of sin. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then it says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So first of all, we have desire. Then we have sin. Then we have death. The Bible tells us that all unrighteousness is sin. 1 John 5 and 17. Unrighteousness is the lack of conformity of heart and life to the divine law of God. All unrighteousness is sin. Proverbs 10 and 19. Says that we sin with our lips. It says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. It's in our very speech, because we have sin within us. Proverbs 14 and 21 says that contempt for others is sin. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. So that just doesn't mean the person who lives next door to you on your right or next door to you on your left. Every human being that crosses your pathway in the experience of life is your neighbor. And it says here, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. Proverbs 24 and 9 says, the very thought of foolishness is sin. Romans 14 and 23 says that unbelief is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Unbelief is sin. And so whatever you might think of the gospel tonight, you leave this auditorium at the close of the meeting and never think about it again. Really, it's the sin of unbelief. That's very solemn when we think of that tonight. And then sin is the neglect of opportunity. James 4, verse 17 says, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That is the sin of omission. So sin is not just doing something wrong, but it is not doing something which is right. So that's what sin is. And there are many other passages that we could cite tonight that would expand the idea of what sin really is. But if you were to just take a few minutes and analyze your life, you have to come to the same conclusion that I have come to, is that we're sinners. Sinners by nature, sinners by practice. There's hardly an hour goes by when we're not guilty of sinning against the God of heaven. Then I'd like to think for a few minutes about what God, what sin has done. Not only what sin is, but what sin has done. Sin has made man a transgressor. The Bible says that whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. If sin is a transgression of the law. Transgression means to step over the line. To step over the boundary. To step over the fence, as it were. That's what transgression is. And that's what man is in the sight of God. Sin has made death common to all men. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wages is something that you receive, that you earn. No one gives you wages when you haven't done anything for it. Wages is earned, and the wages of sin is death. The wisest man who ever lived said in his book Ecclesiastes, there is an evil among all the things that are done under the sun, but there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. And after, they go to the dead. And so, at the end of every life, there is the article of death. There isn't anyone in our gathering tonight that's exempt. We may want to put it out of our mind. It may not be pleasant to think about, particularly if you're a young person in the meeting tonight. We don't like to think of that, and we so often relegate the idea of death to some distant future time. But it's good to just remind ourselves once in a while that people of all ages are passing outside, out of time. Death could cross the path of any one of us at any time, even tonight. And the question would be, are we ready? Would we be ready to meet God? Verse 9. Well, sin has made man a transgressor. Sin has made death common to all men. And then sin has made earth a wilderness. Romans 8 tells us that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You don't have to walk the streets of Vancouver without realizing that this world is in serious difficulty. There's something not right in this world. There's a lot of injustice in this world. There's a lot of violence. The whole creation groaneth. The whole creation is in bondage because of sin. And it's awaiting the day it's going to come when it's going to be released from this bondage. That's going to be through the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. J.N. Garvey, I think it was, wrote that hymn. And he thought about the fact that he was going to leave this old world and go to heaven. He wrote that well-known hymn, "This world is a wilderness wide. I have nothing to seek or to choose. I have no thought in this waste to abide. I have not to regret or to lose." He thought of going home, leaving it all behind, and arriving in a better land, in heaven, to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then sin has made punishment a necessity. It has made hell a reality. The Bible says that God requires that which is past. And every one of us in the meeting tonight have a past in our life We have things, we have sins that we've committed that we just cannot forget about. And if indeed we have forgotten about them, let me assure you tonight that God has not forgotten about them. That statement is very clear. God requires that which is past. And if we have failed to deal with our sin, the sin of our past, there's coming a day when we're going to meet them, we're going to meet those sins again. And those that are unsheltered by the blood of Christ, those who have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, are going to have to stand before the judgment bar of God and answer and be accountable for every one of those sins. It's appointed unto man once to die. But after this, what about after this? Is after this the judgment? There's a story in Luke chapter 16 about a man in hell. It's a story that was told by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it seems that the Lord Jesus, as it were, has drawn aside the curtain of eternity. So just give us a little peek in, a little glimpse of what it is like in the afterlife. And he gives the account of a man in hell. You want to read it? Luke chapter 16. Hell is a reality. And hell is the portion, the place that anyone who dies, he is not saved. Christ has made, or rather sin has made Christ a sufferer. That's the verse that we read in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Sin has made Christ a sufferer. In order to put away sin, the God of heaven, he loves everyone. In the meeting tonight, as that verse, John 3 and 16 tells us, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ hath also once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. I just like to think of that verse very briefly in three parts. Christ hath also once suffered for sin. It only took one sacrifice because the Lord Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God, the only one who could ever have undertaken such a work to suffer, to atone for the sins of the whole world. And there we have the truth of propitiation. That means God's wrath was appeased when Christ died at Calvary. It wasn't just a matter of the Lord Jesus hanging upon the cross and being maltreated by fellow men. There was more to it than that. The Bible tells us that God made to meet upon him the iniquity of us all. The Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And then it says, the just for the unjust. There we have the truth of substitution. The just, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, for us, the unjust, those who are sinners. That's who he died for. And then finally, the reason that he did so, that he might bring us to God. There's the truth of reconciliation. See, my friend, if you've been born in sin, as we all have been, and as there's never been a time when you've had your sins put away, then there's a need in your life to be reconciled to God. And it's only the death of the Lord Jesus Christ that can bring about that reconciliation. And so, I brought before you tonight man's ruin. It's a bleak picture. But God has a remedy. And that's found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, my friend, tonight you need to accept that remedy. You need to accept Christ personally. In order to make that sacrifice apply in your case, in order to have the value of that precious blood applied to the question of your sin. And if you were to trust the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and embrace Him as your own, you can know and have the assurance that your sins are gone. I can say that tonight as a lad of 15. I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And at the end of this meeting, there's going to be two individuals that are going to make a public witness that that is what happened in their life as well. And so we do trust that you will think about the question of your need tonight. Your sin has placed you in a position of great need. And God can meet that need in the person of Christ. And I was just thinking before the meeting, there's four conditions under which a person will never get saved. Condition number one, you'll never get saved if you don't want it. If you don't want God's salvation, He'll never force it upon anyone. It's a matter of free will, of choice. Condition number two, if you want it, but you don't make it a top priority in your life, you won't get saved. Condition number three, if death overtakes you before you make the choice, you won't get saved. And condition number four, if the Lord should come tonight, which He could well do, no prophecies are yet to be fulfilled before the Lord comes. If He came before you made that choice, then you would not get saved. So may the Lord help you to do so tonight. Trust the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. And the Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.